Welcome to the Technocracy.News Hour. I'm Patrick Wood, your host. Today's interview is with Debbie Bacigalupi, senior editor of Technocracy.News. The interview is conducted by Mike Slater, an excellent radio host in San Diego, California. Please take a moment to check out Technocracy.News, the website, where you find all sorts of good information about technocracy from around the world. Also, please note, on the right-hand column, there's a link to Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. This book is the definitive analysis of technocracy. It concerns the world as well as the United States of America. Please take time to check out those resources. Without further ado, here's the interview with Debbie Bacigalupi.
Debbie Bacigalupi. We talked to Debbie a couple times, mostly related to water things with the Klamath River up north, because the governor, I don't even know, we can't go into it now, but Debbie, but what do they want to do? They want to take your land, take the river, take your water, ruin your livelihood, et cetera, et cetera.
I think they want us all living near you, you know, in these mega regions, in these stack and pack communities.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we can't have any farms or ranches or anything.
No, but he who controls the food controls everything.
So that's what we normally talk to Debbie. Debbie is in town because she's going to be the main speaker at the Ramona Tea Party event tomorrow at the Ramona main stage. Doors open at 11. Program begins at noon. They're always amazing. And I'm so glad that Debbie's going to be talking. But she's not just going to be talking about water and California, which is important. But Debbie just got back from Paris, where they had the global warming climate change Agenda 21, 2030, plan for America stuff. So she's going to talk all about that. But Debbie just handed me this book. So where'd you get this book, Debbie? This is a kid's book.
Yeah, isn't it a great book? I got it on Amazon.com. You can get them for like 30 cents, by the way.
But it says it's a United Nations book.
Yes.
So United in association with UNICEF, United Nations, UNESCO. Yep. These are all the United. On the back, it's this is the Secretary General. I sincerely hope that this book will help children from all countries better understand and appreciate the fragile world. There's a quote from Al Gore, the Nature Conservatory. All right, so this is legit. This isn't a self-published that some person put up with.
Oh,
this
no.
Is like the UN did this.
It is a real live book.
Okay, so Debbie just she said, here, take this.
It was a gift for you.
I get to keep it.
Yes, yeah,
I'm
going to
read the
it.
Whole darn thing because this is outrageous. She showed me just page 32 here called The Baby Bomb, okay? So it's a kid's book. So there's pictures and it's all bright and colorful. Here's a quote. The planet groans every time it registers another birth. The giant picture on the other side is of God in the clouds with all these storks carrying babies. And God is like overwhelmed.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I can't. Like this is... He has this look on his face, and he's covering his head, like, "Oh no!" And then the on the land, it's all these traffic is covering the bridge, and there's a dump that's on fire, and there's all these population, what do you call it, like barrios, basically, or
yeah.
Whatever, like slums,
yeah,
and all that stuff. And God is like, "No, we can't have more people on this planet," which has been the purpose of the environmentalist movement for the last 40 years. Which is to decrease the population of the Earth, because the Earth is of the highest priority and people are a virus on
it. A blight, yeah.
Unreal. This is a kid's book.
Yeah, and you know, somebody might be saying, big deal, it's a United Nations book. You know, what does this have to do with the United States? Well, if you go back to the credits, you'll see that United States was involved. You'll see, well, not only was Al Gore involved in this document, in this book, but also there are Girl Scouts of America was involved with this book, Peace Child Recovery, or a Peace Child of Santa Cruz, Peace Child of New York. So all these different groups that were involved in this. So this absolutely does. So the United States did contribute to this book.
Oh, and it's going to be filtered down through the school districts and the textbooks and all that stuff. I mean, that's what this is.
Yeah. I mean, it even goes into vaccines and how all on page 39, you can see that it's a child and it's being vaccinated. And it says that by the year 2000, UNICEF wanted over 90% of children vaccinated. So, you know, this book is not about freedom. It's not about what the United States stands for. It's about indoctrinating the children into a future called sustainable development.
Unreal. Every page is another. propaganda talking point about the, but like to a crazy degree. Wow. This is wild. All right. Thanks for sending this to me, Debbie. I'm going to look over that later. So what did you learn from your time in Paris?
What did I learn? Well, I learned that all nations are going along with this. They have to. It's called the 2030 Agenda. And Obama signed back in September 25th in the United States. Remember when she was here? Putin was here. The Pope was here. Mm-hmm. Remember, he was talking about the environment and how we have, you know, destroyed it and we need to be lighter on the earth. Well, all of those global leaders were here in the United States, in New York, for a reason. They were coming up with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals after January 1, 2016. Mm-hmm. What did they all agree to? The 2030 Agenda. So your audience, your listeners can go right now to the 2030 Agenda fact sheet from the White House and see that they even quote that we are going along with the United Nations Sustainable Development.
Okay.
So what happened in Paris was the setup
I'm there right now, by the way. So this is not a conspiracy theory stuff. I'm on whitehouse.gov.
Yeah.
U.S. Global Development Policy and Agenda 2030. So yes. This is the White House website. So continue. Sorry,
yeah,
to cut you
off. It says 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development.
Okay.
Well, what's sustainable development? Sustainable development is the United Nations. It's what the United Nations came up with, the blueprint, the plan for the 21st century. And so what they were doing in Paris was setting up the climate change, you know, argument that, oh my gosh, we as a community need to reduce the world's temperature by 2 degrees. We need to agree to that or stabilize it. They came up with within 1.5 degrees. This is what they agreed upon. With 1.5 degrees, we need to stabilize the world's temperature. How do you do that?
Yeah.
Through sustainable development practices.
Which affects us how?
Every way. It affects how what you know, your breathing, for example, impacts the environment. I have President Clinton created an executive order in 1994, right after he, you know, got his, or 1993, got his presidency. And he created the President's Council on Sustainable Development.
Okay.
And here's what they say about executing sustainable development. The execution will require profound reorientation of all human society, unlike anything the world has ever experienced. A major shift in the priorities of both governments and individuals, and an unprecedented redeployment of human and financial resources. This is where I want you to listen, like, really closely. This shift will demand that a concern for the environmental consequences of every human action. Mike, you're breathing right now. That is a human action. So this shift will demand that a concern for the environmental consequences of every human action be integrated into individual and collective decision making level at every single level. Does that make sense? So that means everything you do in the 21st century has an environmental impact according to sustainable development.
Well, to go back to the baby bomb, having kids. Being alive,
huge
breathing,
carbon
being alive
footprint.
Is bad for the environment.
Huge, because all the natural resources that are your clothing, your food, the water, your smartphone. You know, we've talked about, because I'm a cattle rancher, we've talked about all the byproducts that come from cattle. Everything in this studio has been touched by cattle at one point.
How's your smartphone?
You're smart because the lubricants that are used to smooth out parts, computer parts, are lubricants, like same lubricants that are used to run your car. Those are livestock byproducts, like stearic acid. The lubricants in an airplane, you know, when it goes puts down its retractable wheels, that's lubricant used with, you know, by livestock or coming from livestock. And so what the Paris conference was all about is changing people's behavior, our everyday behavior, based on the idea that we human beings are so, like you said earlier, you know, and I said blight and you said something else.
Virus,
yeah. That we are such a disease on this planet, this fragile planet, that they must monitor, control, and surveil every human action, not only at an individual level, but at a collective decision-making level.
Amazing. Now, Debbie, I hate we got to run. I'm sorry. But you're going to be at the Ramona Tea Party. Real quick on this point, I remember this conference going on, and China and India and the major polluters in the world, they didn't sign on to any of this stuff because they they don't want to. So they made up some phony baloney stuff about how they want to or they're going to or whatever. But really, it's going to affect America the most, right? Because we're the ones who are going to take the lead. And then in our taking the lead by going backwards, we're going to be hurting the rest of the world.
Well, sure. And Obama told that to us in his 2014 State of the Union. He said that we would be the international leader when it comes to climate change. And if I can say one last thing to everyone, besides come on Saturday, come tomorrow, come check us out. I've got all these documents. We are heading towards some very scary times. China signed on to this 2030 agenda. What it's going to do is limit all of our human ability to create things. I think we are heading towards very scary times under this whole. I'm going to talk about technocracy tomorrow. Hardly anybody has heard of technocracy. It is going to be a new system of, and there's plenty of documents on this too, but a new economic resource system where everything's going to be based on kind of like a cap and trade scheme kind of thing. But here's what I want people to know. We are heading to, in my opinion, to some unprecedented times. Now is the time to make as much money. Save as much as you can. Do as much as you can. Because I think in the next 10 years, we are going to start seeing more and more things that we consider freedom and liberty slipping from our hands.
And prosperity. It's self-inflicted poverty, to say the least. Debbie, you're awesome. Can you come back Monday?
I'd love to.
Let's spend an hour if you got some time.
Oh, I'd love to.
Because Debbie's going to be at Ramona tomorrow. And then you also told me that you just got invited to participate in a debate with some global warming people.
Yes.
So that's on Tuesday. So you're going to be sticking around a couple more days, which is awesome. So we'll talk more about that on Monday. But tomorrow, Debbie, right here, Ramona main stage. Doors open at 11. Starts at noon. Totally free. They always fill up. Debbie's going to be awesome. You're going to learn a lot, and it'll freak you out. But it's happening, so please go. Ramona main stage tomorrow. Program starts at noon. Debbie, you're awesome.
Thank you.
Good luck,
you
and
too.
We'll see you again on Monday, definitely.
You bet.
This is the Mike Slater Show.
A better you for a better us.
AM 760, KFMB.
Better Crusaders, America's the greatest country in the world. San Diego's America's finest city. Thank you for being here. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Our next guest here, we talked to Debbie on Friday, just for like one segment. We said, well, this is no good. We must talk more. So the reason that Debbie's in town, she's from Northern California, way Northern California, as northern as you get in California, right?
Well, at our ranch is just about 40 minutes away from the Oregon border.
Nice. So, but she's down in town because on Saturday she spoke at the Ramona Tea Party about what we're going to talk about here. How was the Ramona Tea Party? I love the Ramona Tea Party.
So amazing. The room was packed. People are engaged. Yeah. I have a book called Technocracy Rising that my friend Patrick Wood wrote, but we're teaming up because technocracy is really the issue we should be talking about. It's a bigger plan, and we'll talk about it later, I hope. But those books sold out in the first break, and that just, oh my gosh, so cool. Fun. They're great people.
How long did you talk for?
I think the total was like an hour and 20 minutes or something
tremendous.
Like that.
Good for you. That's great. Hour and 20. I couldn't get up there and talk for an hour and 20 minutes.
But
that's
when
amazing.
You start digging into all this stuff that's happening to freedom and liberty, and even here in San Diego, it's so easy to talk and keep talking.
That's great.
It's
well,
everywhere.
Good for you. Well, I'm glad you're doing it. So we talked with Debbie Bacigalupi, maybe a year or so ago, about water. So she's a rancher from a family of ranchers, and the governor and the state are just going after her ranch and just the whole area up in Northern California. So can we take a couple minutes and just sort of refresh everyone on that, and then we'll move forward to the more of the big picture stuff. So you're on the Klamath River. What's the story here? What do they want to do to the river?
Yeah, we're in the Klamath Basin, but that's just as important as being on the Klamath River. The Klamath River is a large river system in Northern California. It actually goes down from Southern Oregon through Northern California, and then goes out in the Eureka Crescent City area, way northwest of California, out to the ocean. It's an enormous river system. Well, back in the early 1900s, they decided that this would be a great river system to dam part of it because of the topography and put in hydroelectric dams.
Nice.
There's at least four
on the Klamath River, and it's clean, green, renewable.
It's a clean energy, the cleanest energy, really. I mean, yeah.
And you can reuse the water over and over again, from recreation to irrigation to flood control, drought control, fire suppression, animals, ecosystem. You know, this river, normally, if you talk to rancher Rex Cazalia, he would tell you who he grew up on this river. He was there before the dams went in, and he's there now. He would tell you that the water, the river, would go dry in, you know, late in the summer and when we were going through drought years. Oh, by the way, California, we are a natural, arid Mediterranean climate, which means we don't get a lot of rain. Droughts are normal in California. They are not abnormal, despite what Jerry Brown wants you to think.
Yep.
So this river system would go dry. And so the fish that they're trying to save, which you can buy at Whole Foods for $8.99 a pound, or you could go up to Alaska and find all these endangered coho salmon, you can buy those fish in a store. But so what they're saying is, based on science, actually, it's based on lies, but the government and radical environmental groups and even tribes are saying we have the science to prove that the coho salmon can't swim, you know, all the way upstream like they used to. Well, people who live there would tell you they never could because of the topography. But at one point, government felt that human beings were important. And balancing. So where we put in a dam on the first dam, which is 187 miles up on the Klamath, we also put in a hatchery. And in that hatchery, you know, we produce millions and millions of salmon per year. And when they go up to spawn, they know right where to go. They go back home, which is this hatchery. Well, if you remove the first dam, which is the highest, the Iron Gate, you're going to release, and then the series of dams after that, you're going to release over 20 million cubic yards of sediment. That's like 12,500 miles around the Earth. So, and you're going to destroy all the fish this government claims it's out to save for dam removal.
Wow. And that's all in the name of rewilding the area.
Rewilding.
Right? That's the word. So keep that word in mind, rewilding. So that's what the government wants to do. It's what Jerry Brown's wanted to do for decades. And the environmentalist groups want to do. They want to rewild.
Yes.
And if you look in Prop 1, which was the water bond we passed in 2012.
14.
A lot of that money, which everyone assumed was to increase water usage, a lot of the money goes to dam removal.
Yep.
For the purpose of rewilding.
Yes.
So rewilding, Debbie, correct me if I'm wrong here, it's all based on the premise that nature is more important than man.
Right.
That's the basis of it, right?
Yes, rocks have rights. Absolutely.
and the coho salmon are more important than human beings.
Well, what they believe, and they being the United Nations, radical environmental groups, lobbyists who are, you know, in this game, they're, you know, getting lots of money and for projects, or tribes are getting lots of money for what they call restoration projects. Mm-hmm. What they believe is that if you have an environment that is full of diversity, what was biodiversity? What was the Oscars all about last night? Diversity.
Yeah.
So they think that a balanced world is one that is completely diverse. Completely, even in the biological sciences, that if you have wolves now coming into landscapes, they can, they're going to kill the ungulates. What is the problem with the ungulates? Well, ungulates, deer, cattle, elk, bison, cross rivers. And then when you have crossing rivers, you've got the rivers widening a little bit, you know, a ford in the river. Mm-hmm. So it widens out the river in just certain spots. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, according to them, if the more you widen, even it's just slightly a river, the warmer the water gets. Well, fish need really, really cold, clean water. So we must keep the animals out of the river systems. We must keep the hooved animals out of the river systems.
What?
So this is why wolves need to be, you know, brought back, you know, introduced into the United States of America from Canada and Mexico. Canadian gray wolves from the north, Mexican gray wolves from the south. Yes.
What are you talking about? Sorry, I wish you could see my face right now looking at Debbie. So let me repeat, because this will help me understand. Wolves right now, not, and this is around your neck of the woods?
Sure.
Okay, so no wolves there now, or a few wolves, right?
Now, wolves. In over 100 years, there has not been a wolf in California. In fact, Department of Fish and Game, now Wildlife, they are now California Department of Fish and Wildlife, because it's not about game anymore.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
It's about, like you said earlier, rewilding. So they even questioned their records on whether or not there were wolves here. They claim there were two, one up in Shasta County and another here in San Bernardino.
Like two wolves.
Two wolves back in the 1920s, so they say.
Types of wolves or wolves? Like literally like two wolves.
Two wolves.
Like Jim and Chris. Two wolves.
Right.
Yeah.
They claim there were two wolves here. Okay. And because there were two wolves, wolves must have belonged here at one time. There are some records that say that wolves were all over the United States of America.
Yeah, but that's not specific.
So were
enough.
There bison? And you know what? I bet dinosaurs were once here too, you know?
All right. So hold on. So you're telling me they want wolves.
Yes.
Because without wolves, then we have, what did you call them? What kind of animals? Ungulates?
Ungulates.
What is that? What's the definition of ungulate?
Like a hoofed animal.
Okay. There's a rancher talking here. You got to talk down to me, Debbie. So hoofed animals, too many of them, and they're walking across rivers.
Right.
And that destroys the beds of the rivers, widens the rivers.
Right.
Obviously, the water's going to be more shallow, which means the sun gets to heat it up more. So the water level temperature is going to be too hot for the fish to swim all the way up it.
Yes, but if you think about where the river widens, it's on the outskirts of the river, on the sides of the river. So it's just...
So we need to bring wolves in to kill the hoofed animals.
Right.
To protect the fish.
Right, but then there's also grazing. So they're saying that the wolves are going, or the grazing animals, the deer, the cattle.
Deer cattle.
Sure.
Yep.
Are causing, are destroying natural fauna and flora. So therefore, you know, because they graze, they make marks in the ground, which, you know, my dad would say, hey, those marks in the ground are great. Seeds, you know, seeds will blow into those marks in the ground from the hooves, and then it rains, and then you've got plants growing. Yeah. You know,
unbelievable. The way they want to control. I didn't realize, this is funny, Debbie, because I always thought the leaders, and again, there's leaders and followers in the environmentalist movement. The followers are like my mom, who just want a clean planet with nice, clean air to breathe. But then you have the leaders who you're talking about here, the people in Sacramento and D.C. and the United Nations who are like, this is how we want to control and manipulate the world. I always just assumed they didn't want humans, and I'll get to that in a second here, how they don't want humans. They think humans are a plague on the planet. And they just wanted nature. But this is even more sadistic than that. This is more controlling than that. This is, we want specific types of nature and a specific amounts of nature, and not this type of nature, but these types of natures. Like, that's really controlling and arrogant.
Yeah, and who's it going to impact? Who are the wolves going to impact most, or the predators? There is a plan. It's called the Y2Y. It's Yellowstone to Yukon. It's from Yellowstone all the way up into Canada, and they're using what is called the Wildlands Project to introduce...
Who's they?
They, the United Nations, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the Department of Interior, local governments in that area, Indian tribes, Defenders of Wildlife, Center for Biological Diversity, I mean, at Nature Conservancy, Environmental Defense Fund.
Debbie, answer that question. Because a lot of people, when they say they, it's not specific. So you were quite specific. Okay.
So I would say they're groups that believe that nature is over humans.
Yes.
You know, and even the Pope recently he's scaring me about what he's, you know, that we, nature comes before human beings. And that's, you know, if you're of the religious type and believe, you know, that people are stewards of the land.
Sure.
We take care of, ranchers love their land. Why would we destroy our own property? Why would we destroy our own water? We love, one of the reasons why we have a ranch is because my family throughout history has loved the wildlife, has loved taking pictures. I love taking pictures of all the wildlife that comes on our ranch. It's one of my favorite things to do. And I think that's why I'm fighting so hard for this. Well, many reasons. But one of them is that, you know, this plan being the agenda for the 21st century. And then after that, the agenda for the beyond that, which is, you know, there's the 2030 agenda, which is part of the agenda for the 21st century. But what happens in the 22nd century? What happens in the 23rd century? So what we see is a big government doing what government does, which is grow, grow, grow. Mm-hmm. Take more and more and more power from individuals. We see like Walmarts popping up all over. What happens to the mom and pop shops? You see rural towns just being decimated. because the services aren't there anymore. There's so much environmental regulation in rural lands, which is where people get their food, mm-hmm. where they get their clothing, cotton, leather, all the things that, you know, we use from the rural lands, timber.
And government's controlling and manipulating that land like never before. Debbie, I want to cut you off here because I want to take a break. There's a lot going on here. I want you to finish your Yellowstone to Yukon thing point as well. But just very, real quick, 30 seconds, latest on the Klamath River and the dams there. Are they destroying them? Are they taking them down? What's
their plan? Their plan is to take it out of Congress's hands, put it into FERC. FERC will go into, FERC is a federal environment, I forgot it. Somebody on your line.
What is it, FIRC?
FERC. FERC is, they're in charge of our energy. So a lot of the energy. So if you can look that up, I'll continue. Yeah. But to put it in a FERC, it's part of the federal government.
Federal Energy Regulation Commission.
Thank you. And to put it in the hands of FERC, which takes it out of the hands of Congress, because Congress wants to defund. Congress will not fund, at this point anyway, the removal of the largest dam removal project in worldwide history, which is in Northern California, the Klamath River Dams.
So, but if they put it in the regulatory agency, then they can do it without the accountability of Congress.
Through an executive order type thing.
Yeah, without people going to their congressmen. They can wash their hands
without representation.
Yes, exactly. Wow. Okay. So that's pending right now. So I want to come back and I want to talk about this children's book that Debbie gave me when she was here on Friday. This is by the United Nations. And on page 29, and I'm going to upload a picture during the break here so you can see it on our Facebook page. It talks, every page is a different, it's a kid's book. Every page is a different environmental problem. And page 32 is about the baby bomb. And here's a quote here in this kid's book. The planet groans every time it registers another birth. And there's a big picture, the full page picture of God looking down with all these storks carrying babies all around him. And God is like covering his head, worried and shame, desperation at the planet beneath him with traffic and with a big garbage dump in cities and all that is all dirty down there. And God's like, oh no, there's too many people. The environmentalist leaders think that human beings are a plague on the planet. I know that's hard to accept that fact, but it's absolutely true, and we'll talk more about that coming up next. 1-800-760-KFMB, Mike Slater Show. Spread the word. Slater Crusaders talking with Debbie Bacigalupi. She's from up north. We talked to Debbie a lot about water because she's on the near the Klamath River that they want to rewild, get rid of the dams there. Turn it back to its natural state, pre-human. And what would that do for your ranch, Debbie?
Well, what it would do is they are, once the dams, if they get the dams approval, they're taking it out, removed. Yeah. They're taking it out of our hands, meaning the people who vote here. They're taking it out of Congress's hands, which, you know, I don't know what Congress has been up to lately anyway, but, and then putting it to the federal government to do what the federal government would want, which is to remove these dams.
Just that process alone. I don't even care if you're for rewilding or whatever you're for. The process of taking something out of Congress's hands and putting it into a bureaucracy's hands, which is faceless, nameless, soulless, accountability-less, that process is very dangerous. And that's happening at a higher rate than ever in American history. Right? So here's just an example of that. So they get rid of the dams, right? So they're gone. So the river is going to dry up in the summertime.
Right.
And
at the same time, it's going to be releasing, you know, billions and billions and billions of acre feet over the years of water
that we could be using,
that we could be using,
that your ranch could be using. So is your ranch going to be able to survive that?
Well, what they'll do something, what they call full basin management, meaning all water within the tributary, within the Klamath Basin, you know, river system. In order to supply water for the times when there's no water, which right now there's 365 days, 7 days a week, 24 hours, 24/7 water in that river for the fish.
Yep.
So when it's drought years and there's little water, they will want all tributaries, diversions, all water going into the Klamath River system for the fish, the hatchery fish, the fish that they claim, you know, once swam up, you know, like cliffs. Somehow yeah. they must have jumped up cliffs yeah. to get into warmer, shallower, phosphorus-rich
which
lakes.
Which isn't where they'd want to be in the first place.
Which is not where they'd want to be in the first place. You know, there's Indian records that show that they had suckerfish up there, and the more that these suckerfish loved muddy water and they adapted, and now they want clean water for all these fish. And you know what? Salmon like clean water. They like clean, cold water. And with the Klamath River system, National Geographic even describes the Klamath River system as a reverse system. Reverse meaning most rivers start in a mountain, clean, cold water.
Yep.
Fish love that. And the closer in most river systems that the river gets to the ocean, the dirtier, the more polluted, the warmer yep. the water gets. Well, that's not the case on this Klamath River system. It's exactly the opposite.
Interesting.
So we've had, you know, federal government scientists fired for saying they do not believe or agree with this reckless dam removal. But part of the agenda for rewilding, and Bruce Babbitt, former Department of Interior Secretary, said just in 2013, he said this to Patagonia, REI, and those organizations yep. support dam removal. He said to them that under the Obama administration, more money, more energy has gone towards dam removal. In fact, they were able to support the Elwha, which is in the state of Washington, dam removal, which has destroyed thousands and thousands of acres of, you know, bird refuge and all of that by taking out these dams and all the sludge, the pollutants that went out to the sea. But you're not going to read that in the media.
No, of course not.
You know how I know that? Because I went up there personally, myself, filmed. I talked to the people who live along the river who have been fighting this for, you know, 20 years. They're trying to rewild Olympic Park. That's why they have to get the people out. That's why they have to destroy even the Klamath River, which these dams are in perfect condition. Who owns these dams? Warren Buffett. Who's Warren Buffett's right hand? Charles Munger Sr. Now you can get into the politics of California.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say much more about that. But
so, well, just know the rewilding. I think that's the takeaway right now, that this is happening. For the average person walking around, they need to know that rewilding has happened, which means, first of all, not better for the environment, necessarily, whatever that even means. It's fueled and motivated by this concept that nature is more important than humans. And it's obviously harmful to the people and along the rivers.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. And you know, it takes away, it trumps. So these kind of agendas, these radical, and I'm going to say radical because they really don't include the human beings. They don't. It destroys farmers and ranchers is what it does. Mm-hmm. And if people don't want their GMO food, I'm telling you better wake up, because what you're going to be getting is Cargill. Nature Conservancy has meat, but you know what? And Monsanto, but they have the lobbyist who can afford
and protect them.
And protect them.
Yeah, you're not getting protected.
A little family like mine, you know, which survives on very little. You know, our ranch is beautiful, but it's not anything like you'd see Ted Turner's Bakes. We have a little house that my dad last year finally spent some money on fixing the roof, because we were seriously in the wintertime when we did get rain, we're getting puddles in the house.
Yeah.
But because my dad, mom and dad are afraid to do anything now, you know, any improvements, mm-hmm. because they don't know down the road what kind of law, you know, suits they're going to have to fight under a radical agenda that puts rocks over people.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's the leadership that's happening right now. That's
I'm so inflamed.
No, I'm with you. That's the takeaway. And it ties back to what we talked about all show. Peggy Noonan wrote in the Wall Street Journal about the protected versus the unprotected. And these are the two classes that we have in America now, the protected and the unprotected. And Debbie, obviously, and the unprotected. I want to talk about this real quick, and then we'll go to Agenda 2030 in the next segment, Debbie. But this children's book from the UN, I just put it up on our Facebook page. You can search for the Mike Slater Show on Facebook. I took a picture of these two pages. It's a kid's book. Every page is a different environmental blight, right? So Sea of Troubles, Chainsaw Massacre about taking down trees, Bring Back the Earth, Vanishing Mountains, Expanding Deserts, Atmosphere Cleanup, Atmosphere Alert, Smog, blah, blah, blah. So every page is a different thing, right? So this one's about babies. And this is Agenda 21, Chapter 5. Again, this book is put out by the UN. This is a UN children's book.
With Al Gore supporting it, by the way. And the Girl Scouts of America. Lots of Boy Scouts is on one of the linked pages. So this is not just a UN thing.
Oh, this is, then trickled down to Your kids. I mean, your school, I guarantee. Yes. The world's pop. This is the first sentence. The world's growing population and unsustainable consumption patterns are putting increased stress on air, land, water, and energy resources. Did you know that within the time it takes to draw one breath, 500 kids are born? No, the solution is not to stop breathing. We have to stop the trend of rapid population growth. Our planet cannot cope with it much longer. And it goes on. This is old school, really radical, extremist stuff from like the 70s that said there's going to be too many people for this planet and we won't be able to survive. This is the type of stuff from the environmentalists in the 70s that said, like Paul Ehrlich stuff, that said Europe won't exist, like England won't exist by the year 2000 because we're going to run out of food and all this other goofy nonsense. And here they are still pushing it to our kids in this kid's book. It's on our Facebook. Go ahead.
Yeah. And you mentioned Paul Ehrlich. He's still a professor at Stanford.
Amazing.
And he wrote a book called Population Bomb. So, of course, they would put in a chapter about population in this book because Paul Ehrlich is very, very highly revered by the United
Nations. Still
today,
after, even though in Population Bomb, every single, and he was on Johnny Carson like 50 times, every single thing he said in that book turned out to be wrong. Every single prediction he made could not have been more wrong, right? He's saying, like, it's literally stuff like we're all going to die of mass starvation in America by the year 2000. Like, couldn't have been more wrong. But he's still on, like you said, still working at Stanford and all the rest and still peddling this stuff in this kid's book. It's on our Facebook page. Search for The Mike Slater Show on Facebook. More with Debbie coming up next. We'll talk about Agenda 2030. Mike Slater Show. Spread the word. Slater Cassandra's here with Debbie Bacigalupi. And she's from Northern California, ranch and family. And we talk with Debbie a lot over the years about water.
You had my dad on.
We had your dad. We had Rancher Rex on.
No, my dad, Jerry.
We had Rex, too.
You should have. Yes, you had Rex on,
too.
We did,
yeah. We loved Rex. And your dad was fantastic. How many times did your dad go on radio shows? He's I want to be more like your dad, honestly. I want to be more like your dad.
I think you may have been his second.
Yeah.
And he gets so nervous.
No, he did so good. I'm so glad he's there. I'm so glad you guys are both fighting. So we'll put that aside, and we'll put the water stuff aside for now. Debbie just got back from, were you in Paris?
Yep.
Is that where the most recent global warming talks were and all the rest? So Debbie's been following all this stuff and this Agenda 21, which when I first heard it about a year ago, I said, that sounds really conspiratorial, doesn't it? It's Agenda 21. That sounds very, come on. I'm on the website, UN. Well, here's this UN kids book about Agenda 21. Here's Rescue Mission Planet Earth by the UN. A children's edition of Agenda 21. I mean, so Agenda 21 is a real thing. Now, Agenda 2030 is the new thing. And again, that sounds crazy and made up. But here I'm on the White House's website, fact sheet, U.S. Global Development Policy and Agenda 2030. So this is not fake. This is not made up. This is not conspiratorial. Now, what's the relevance of it? That's the question. So tell us a little bit about 2030.
Well, if you read a little bit further down, I'm not on that site with you. If you read a little bit further down, it discusses the United Nations Climate Change Conference that just happened.
That you were at.
Yes. And that the White House agrees with what happened, the Paris Accords. In fact, on April 22nd, 2016, at the New York headquarters of the United Nations. So the United Nations headquarters is in New York City. All these countries, and there's like 190 or something like that, who agree with this climate change accord, are going to come together to sign the treaty, start signing the treaty from out for till next year. And they're going to have big celebrations, and it's going to be a huge global carbon footprint, to kick off this big event in their fashion, in their style. They do everything big, and they are the biggest hypocrites and double standard, double speak people you would ever meet in your life. But anyway, the idea is that to maintain the global temperature by 1.5 degrees, so they want to maintain it within a very, very tiny, fraction, 1.5 degrees. We need to do that through this thing called sustainable development. California has sustainable development. We passed AB 32 and SB 375 a couple years ago.
So it's not what's the future effects of this. It's California's leading the way. We've always led the way in America with this goofiness.
Right.
So
that's only
AB 32. That's what that is.
We are the only state that has a cap and trade system. And what is Jerry Brown doing? He is creating treaties, accords with other countries.
Yeah.
Mexico, Quebec, Australia. He is violating the Constitution because he is not supposed, states are not supposed to make treaties with international.
Yeah, they really are. So I remember when AB 32, when the California cap and trade deal first came out, there were a bunch of countries that were going to do this. but they all dropped out except for Quebec. I remember Quebec. It was Quebec and California were the only two people goofy enough to continue on with their carbon markets.
Yeah.
But you say now there's maybe a couple other countries.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
because they're leading the way now. And they've got, and the only way you can have a global cap and trade system is if more and more, you know, countries start hopping on the cap and trade scheme. Well, that was what the whole climate change conference was about, is how together are we going to create a global action plan to reduce the world's consumptive behaviors, like all the things you buy. Why is that important? Because consuming things extracts resources from the environment, takes it from the planet, and then it creates greenhouse gases, and then you don't have the biodiversity, and then you have global warming.
And again, real quick, I'm just chime in. Jerry Brown, his greatest, one of his great friends was one of the environmentalists in Europe, and he spoke at his funeral, and this was the environmentalist who came up with the philosophy that small is beautiful. So Jerry Brown said this in his inaugural address, first inaugural address, I think. He said, small is beautiful. Same as the less is more. We're going to use less. We're going to do less. We're going to consume less. Hence, water shortage. That's why in San Diego, we have too much water. We're dumping water into the ocean.
Yep.
And we're not capturing it because Jerry Brown doesn't want you to use it because he believes small is beautiful.
Right. Yeah. And it really is like if you can control all the resources, you have all the power.
Absolutely.
And government, like I said earlier, is only doing what government does, which is grow.
Yeah.
Garner more power. But that's what makes the United States so unique. There's no other country that gave the power to the people. We fled tyrannical rule. Mm-hmm. A mistake I hear all the time is people saying we're a democracy. You hear large, even GOP groups, you even hear GOP, you know, presidential candidates call us a democracy. We're not. A democracy is mob rule. A democracy, the only difference between a monarchy and a democracy is how many people you allow to rule over you. Are we going to give up that system here in the United States? Under the environment, they want us to give up our individual rights, saying we are one common, big, happy planet. And because all of our ecosystems are linked together, if you breathe, like I read, you know, on Friday in the Agenda 21 book, you know, President Clinton's executive order, that all human action, we're breathing right now, is a human action, has an environmental consequence. And that in the 21st century, which is why Agenda 21 is called, you know, it's the agenda for the 21st century. In the 21st century, we must, as an individual and a collective society, think about the impact that our breathing has on the earth, for example. Mm-hmm. The United Nations, it wants to be the, in fact, there's a new article out that I just read this morning that says that the United Nations wants to be the environmental police. And it makes sense because there are books like this book I have that I'm showing you, The Earth Charter, a framework for global governance. They have always wanted global governance. They've always wanted a United Nations system. That's why we hear about the United Nations all the time in the news. And yet the United Nations was founded to create peace. Under the United Nations, there has been no peace. In fact, we are even experiencing, you know, some more wars in some cases.
No, listen, we don't need to talk about how the UN is a total joke. We're all in agreement with that. But the fact that they need to redefine their purpose here and take away American sovereignty, all based on the name of the environment, right? The feel good name of the environment. That's how they're going to do it.
Right.
That's how they're going to. And that's how Americans are going to blindfully and willfully give up our sovereignty to the UN and decisions to the UN. And I don't care what stance you take or what position you take on any issue. Under no circumstance should people in the United Nations make decisions for us here in the United States of America. That's absurd.
They do not take into consider natural rights. You know, the U.S. Constitution doesn't give you your rights. The U.S. Constitution protects your rights. Mm-hmm. And if your listeners are hearing this right now, how much we've lost of our education of the Constitution and our history. If you cannot name the five liberties given to you in the First Amendment right now, which one are you losing? If you cannot define,
good point.
If you can't define liberty, you can't defend it. Yeah. Most people say liberty is freedom. No, it's not, because we go around saying freedom and liberty. You know, if liberty meant freedom. So liberty is freedom plus morality. So we have like this right, wrong compass about us. And the experiment of the United States was, can man rule himself? Well, what the United Nations wants to do, and we have capitalism, right? I heard your earlier segment about Coolidge. You know, he was persevering, and he believed in the small business. That was the foundation of the United States of America. Freedom, perseverance, individualism, and your ability to create private property. You know, private property is not just, you know, these books and your car. And private property is the thoughts in your head.
Absolutely.
Your hands. What you do with those thoughts and you create with your hands is yours until you give it away. But under this global governance system and the 2030 agenda, it's not about individualism. It's about becoming a collective good, a common good, like Common Core, for example.
And a common good that, in this kid's book that I put on a Facebook page, truly believes that there's too many people on the planet. And we need to have fewer people. And by that extension and everything you've been saying in this segment, the environment is more important. Small is beautiful. The environment is more important than people.
That's why in the 2030 agenda, one of the goals, and there's 169 targets. There's 17 big goals in poverty, save the environment, climate change. There's 17. And in those 17 sustainable development goals are 169 targets. One of the targets is by the year 2020. So that's less than 4 years from now. Have cut in half the number of traffic accidents and traffic deaths. Now, how do you do that? How do you have the number of traffic accidents and deaths in 4 years?
Yeah, so there's no, that's not come up with safer cars. That's not what that is. That's don't drive cars. That's have everyone take high-speed trains.
Or walk or take, you know, or bike. Another goal is by the year 2020, and now this gets back into the Klamath River dams. By the year 2020, to have all ecosystems, rivers, oceans, environments, you know, habitat saved under the control of, you know, this United Nations 2030 agenda, where they're controlling all these, you know, the environment, the government, Jerry Brown, Kate Brown of Oregon, the federal government, their goal to remove the Klamath River dams is by the year 2020. Matches exactly what the United Nations 2030 agenda is.
Debbie, we got to run. 30 seconds, final thought.
Final thought. Well, we are heading in my opinion, you know, reading all these documents, going to the United Nations conferences that I have, doing documentaries that I've done. We are heading into dire times. And I said this on Friday. If now is the time to work really hard to save as much as you can, support your future. It's going to be a cap and trade system. We are moving into what they call a new international economic system. Get technocracy.news. It explains, or go to technocracy.news. We have a book there called Technocracy Rising. This is not about Agenda 21, and it's not just about the 2030 agenda. It's about a much more I would say scientific-based future, not based on scientific fact. It's based on how do you rule all people all the time. Your smartphones, your smart grids, your smart meters, the GPS in your car, all connected to, you know, a big hub, a central location, which we see this happening all the time. It's called scientific dictatorship, where only a few rule over many or the rest, based on kind of like a tyrannical rule system. So get
it's the modern, this is what it is. It's the modern version of the philosopher king. So humans for all of existence have searched for the philosopher king, the smartest person who can, that person can rule over all of us because they're wiser, more brilliant than the rest of us. That's been a search for thousands of years, and that person doesn't exist. Our founding fathers knew that person doesn't exist. That's why we live in a republic. So that's the modern version of this. We're going to find the smartest bureaucracies. We're going to find these bureaucracies, fill them with the smartest people, and they're going to rule over us. It's the same concept.
And, you know, for the last thing I'd like to say is, you know, I'm available to speak on this. I go to all these conferences. I read the documents. This is my life. I don't get paid to do this. It's a passion of mine. Freedom and liberty and individual rights and is my passion.
How can people get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with me. That you can email me, dbacigalupi@gmail.com, dbacigalupi at gmail.com. You can also go to technocracy.news.
And your contact information is there. Debbie, you're awesome. We'll always be in touch. Anytime you're in San Diego, let us know.